Welcome back, Whole Woman listeners. I am so excited today because I get to interview the most beautiful woman I know, Kim Mossman, and we're talking about Reflections of Joy. Now, it is quite the long title. So, Learning to Love the Woman to You See While Becoming the One You're Meant to Be is the full title of our book. But today we're going to just call it Reflections of Joy.
That's what I do.
Hi, Kimmy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got this new top yesterday and I wanted to flaunt it for you because
I
it's just
love it.
super cute.
I
Yeah,
love
and
it.
it's.
And look,
Oh, I know.
mine's
Blue
super
and
light.
blue. Yeah. But do you know much about the brand THML? I'm kind of new to it, but they use very nice thin cotton. And so in this South Carolina heat, I feel like I could actually go out in the public and not melt in this top. Yeah. We'll see.
I know, right? It's been a scorcher here too.
I have so many questions for you about your book, and I just kind of want to dive right in if you're ready.
I think so. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, I just want to first state that after reading your book, I just, there's definitely some out loud chuckles. I enjoyed it. But I think we are definitely born in another life together because there are so many of the same lessons that we have learned throughout our life, which I find so fascinating. And it's like, for me, it just means that we were meant to meet each other. And so I'm super excited to have this conversation.
Me too. Me too. That's
Okay.
the whole time I read yours, I was like, wait, what is this? It's like somebody was eavesdropping over my shoulder while I wrote my own book.
I know. I also, again, I point this out every time, but I am really utilizing your accompanying journal that comes with, well, it doesn't come with your book, it's separate, but my owner's manual. I use the crap out of this journal and I love that it's a big size. So thank you for creating that. But I have all my questions written down for you in your journal.
Oh, I love
All right.
that.
So my first question is that you describe in your intro of how much soda that you were drinking. And I had that same issue once upon a time. So now that we both drink more water than anything else, I still dabble in soda. I know you don't really. But first of all, what was your drink of choice? I want to know.
I drank Pepsi. I loved
You
Pepsi.
were a Pepsi girl. Okay, you were a Pepsi girl. I'm a Coke girl. All right. So what did you notice first about your appearance when you stopped drinking all that soda?
I had less, I just, my gut wasn't as bloated. I didn't have as much gas. I also chewed a lot of gum. Like when I drank soda, I also chewed a lot of gum because I also smoked. And I quit all of those things at the same time. And
Oh.
yeah, because one made me want the other. And so I just stopped. And I noticed, like, okay, I wasn't walking around tooting all the time. I mean, I seriously, I didn't have any gas, I didn't have any bloating, and I didn't have like I did not burping, but that need to like I mean,
Yeah.
no, yeah. How about you? Did you notice a change?
Well, this was a long time ago when I went from drinking nothing but soda to drinking water. And like I said, I still enjoy an ice cold Coke with my honey, but we share it. Not that that makes any difference, but for me, when I stopped eating all that garbage and drinking all that juice and sodas, my skin changed dramatically. Like I normally, for the most part in my whole life, have had clear skin. But during those teenage years and into early 20s, I was always just broken out. And I noticed immediately how much my skin just cleared up when I was drinking water. And I do attribute that to when I tell people I'm, 53 going on 54, they don't believe me. And I do believe that water plays a huge role in that, how much water we drink. So, yeah. If you want to age backwards, girl, start drinking that water.
Yep, absolutely. You know,
Okay.
the other thing, real quick, is did you notice when
Yeah.
you started drinking water how much more you went to the bathroom? It's like I was
Yeah.
drinking all this soda, but I was never going to the bathroom. So what was going on? I mean, like, because it really doesn't hydrate you, you know? And I mean, it's liquid, but it doesn't hydrate you. And so then when I switched off to water, I don't know. Too much information. Nobody wants to know about my bathroom habits, but I just noticed that
It
switch
does
off,
serve a
like
purpose.
the caffeine, the absence of the caffeine, I was going more.
Right. But also, let's just be real, the color of your pee probably changed dramatically. Like it's almost clear as opposed to like the color of soda, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Fun tip, y'all. You want that clear pee, you should drink some more water, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Okay. I love that you ask your readers to slow down and not skip ahead. I think it's so cool that you did that and that you were kind of thinking ahead because a lot of times when people pick up what we have categorized as self-help books, they're like, let me get to the solution. What do I do? What do I implement? What do I do now that's going to fix my whole life? And you say, take a deep breath. I'm in this with you. And I love that so much because I think, by the time someone picks up your book, they probably feel like they've tried everything and nothing has stuck or nothing worked, and they just want to feel whole. And I think sometimes so many people don't realize that the whole reason why nothing else worked before is because you rush the process. You have to go through the feelings, the trauma, the emotions, the tears, the laughter, the anger. You have to go through all those feelings to come out the other side. And so that's what this beautiful book is asking of you. So you ask your readers not to jump ahead and get to the finish line, which forces us to cross it over and over again because we didn't really learn what we were supposed to learn. So no skipping just to get to the good stuff. I know that pretty much sums up what you said, but I would love for you to kind of talk about what you were thinking at that moment.
I feel like most of the time when people don't like who they see in the mirror, as women, our automatic is to start to diet. I mean, it's like, you know, we don't think about all the other things in our life. And what I tried to lead people through before we got to talking about food, because we do talk about food, is everything that will impact your life in a positive way before you get there. And so, you know, faith or quietness or spirituality, you know, I talk about writing, and for me, I really feel it's important when somebody wants to change their life that they journal. Maybe not forever. You don't have to bite it off and say, I'm going to do this till I die, but you should write it down for now so you can remember what's working. And then, you know, we talk about movement, and you know, but so many people, like, they want to eat rabbit food. And then they want to go kill themselves in a gym. And it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I encourage people to move their bodies so that they can start to acknowledge that they really are hungry and start to eat. And then maybe change what you're eating after you realize you're hungry, right? We've just been doing it wrong all along. I still watch people today. I still, you know, like every time I go to the doctor with my mom and she steps on the scale, right? I mean, like they have a perception of what is good and what is bad. And you know, my book's about loving your life. That's what my book's about. Loving your life and loving who you are, even if you want to change. And so that's why I didn't want people to zip ahead to, you know, when I talk about food and the recipes that are in there. So
Well, yes, and that is like a beautiful common theme throughout all of your chapters, even though they're all different and touching on different topics, you're still talking about loving yourself, loving who you are as a person, who you're growing into as a person, who you will become after getting through all these feelings is love. And I think that is another reason why I know that you and I were supposed to meet because that message is pretty clear for the both of us. It's like, why things never worked before is because that self-love component wasn't there yet. And I think that even as you and I are aging and going through a whole different host of things as our bodies are changing, that self-love foundation is there and it's getting us through it in a way that I don't think we probably could have managed it before. So that's what I know you're hoping to pass on to your readers and our listeners is that message. So I love that about your book.
Thank you.
Okay, my next question is, I love that you say that you stop telling yourself someday. It only prolongs your happiness. I'm curious, when did it dawn on you that you were stuck in your old story and that you were finally ready to start a new one? So talk about, elaborate a little bit more on your morning walks and your epiphanies when you have those morning walks.
It's my favorite time of day. I just and I don't I, as I talk in there, I don't have earbuds in. I don't listen to podcasts or listen to music. I listen to myself. I talk to God. And I work through things. Sometimes I have half a conversation that I know I need to have. But yeah, I just someday's always out there. Right. And for so long, I told myself, someday I'll treat myself and, buy that great pair of shoes, or someday I'll go buy that beautiful dress, or someday I'll do the things. And it's like I have to earn it. I have to be a certain size, or I have to do a certain thing, or I have to be good enough to do it someday. I don't know, Rachel. I spend a lot of time just learning more and more and more about myself on those walks. And I like myself today. I mean, like I didn't, have you ever had a point in your life where you just didn't even really like who you'd become? And it had nothing to do with what you looked like, right? Or nothing to do with your career or your people. It's just like, what is this? And someday's here. I like who I am. Do I still have goals? Do I still have like goals? I don't know if I'd call them goals, but do I still have things
Dream.
that I'd like to change? For sure.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't happen, I'm really good with who I'm sitting with right here,
Yeah.
and I wish more people would feel like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most important valuable lesson, and it doesn't just have to be women, I think us as humans can learn is if you can be comfortable in your own skin, in your own company without nothing, that's when you know that you are that best version of yourself at that moment. And if that ever starts to kind of change, that's when we need those little refresher courses, if you will, on how to appreciate and love yourself, because there's always going to be a challenge in life, and there's always going to be something that maybe doesn't go your way. But how do you get through that with love and compassion and empathy, not only for everybody else involved, but for yourself? It has to be a foundation. I mean, I'm sure you would agree with that.
Absolutely. And I don't know. I'm in a place right now where, I'm sitting more as I work, right? I've never sat for my job. And I really love what I'm doing. I love this new career that I've stumbled into. I love sitting and talking with you, and I love, with our podcast, but then I'm also coaching people who are writing and people who are launching. And so I spend a lot of time with my tush right here in this chair, right here. And it's not who I was before. And so I find myself like huffing and puffing as I get to the top of my stairs, and just things that I've never felt before. Well, I can just think to myself, that's who I am. Or I can let it bother me enough that I make some changes because it's not who I want to be, right? I want to still chase the little boys that God has put in my life, and I still want to get up and down off the floor. So, yeah, I just think I'm good. I'm good, but I got goals. So, yeah.
I think that's an interesting place to be in. Like you said, I'm good, I am happy, but there, if something comes and it's a challenge and it's time to do some more reflections, there's really nothing wrong with that? And I think as we go through these stages in life, that again, I'm going to use the word foundation, your foundation of self-love is so strong that that helps you get through life's hurdles. And this may be a tad bit more of a serious talk between the two of us today, but that's kind of what we signed on for. We wanted to have real conversations, and it's beautiful for me when something like your book inspires me to think. It expires, expires. It inspires me to think outside of what I know, and asking you questions and hearing what you think. That's how we grow as humans, is to learn and to think differently and to hear somebody else talk. So that's another reason why we started this. Okay, moving on. All right, so you talk about our society has forgotten how to appreciate all the, speaking of, all the beautiful things in our world that it can offer. Can you give our listeners a few tips on how to retrain our brains to start seeing the good in the world again?
Yeah, so you that my New Year's Day revelation that I wrote, and you know that part of the book was all done, and I went out for a walk that New Year's Day, and it's New Year's Day, right? I mean, it's like everybody should be on the beach with their toes in the water, like greeting the new year, right? But instead, I feel like everybody on my little slice of the world has was either hungover or too old to get out of bed because I was all by myself. And yeah, I think people just take it for granted. Like for me, I walk out the door and I stop and I inhale, you know? I mean, it's not always good, right? Especially depending on where you live. Sometimes the breeze is right and I catch the pig farm from down the road. But there are other days when it's that good rain smell and it's that good grass smell. And I try to spend more of my life finding the good things, right? I just, so many people just like drive right by and don't, or I'll say, oh my gosh, do you smell that? What are you talking about? You know, wake up, be aware of where you are and what you can see and what you can smell and what you can taste. I mean, that's the whole thing. And we've just, I feel like society has become numb. We eat to get our stomach to stop growling. We don't pay attention to delicious food. And I know you love good food too, right? We've talked about this. I think about all the times that I just like chugged a protein shake because I needed macros or I needed whatever. I'm
Same.
over it. I'm over it, right? So everything I do for pleasure. You know, I exercise. I'm gonna walk. I'm not doing things I don't like to do anymore. I'm not eating things I don't like. I'm not, you know, this week for me is vacation Bible school. I'm waking up before I like. But it's 5 day window in my whole year, and I love the kids, so it's worth it. But I guess I would just encourage people to take that first step out the front door and like count to 10 before you charge off in your everyday direction and find something good.
Oh, I love that. Take a breath before you start to complain first thing. I've taught myself, and we've talked about this before, and maybe we'll do an episode on meditation. And not that it didn't work for me, but it just wasn't something sustainable for me. But what I did take from that experience was to breathe and to learn how to breathe. And to, when I start to get flustered or overwhelmed or I feel anxiety, to breathe. And that has been a game changer for me. But I also have, from that experience, have taught myself to wake up every single morning. I don't give a rat's ass what day of the week it is, what time I wake up. The first thing I do is I say thank you. Because I truly believe that when you start your day in gratitude, that shifts your brain, it shifts your thinking, it shifts your mood, and it shifts how you perceive the world. Because if you wake up to the news, or you wake up to an angry person, or you wake up angry yourself, I mean, you're just not doing yourself justice to enjoy this life that we have. You know, it's a gift. It is a gift. And all I can do is hope that people recognize that and understand that and hopefully start to view their life as something beautiful. And that I don't have to explain myself. Never mind. Moving on.
Oh, well, yeah, but there are people out there who don't do it yet. So I get it. You know how many people wake up and the first thing that happens is they touch their phone to turn off the alarm and they pick their phone up. They're instantly in someone else's agenda. So the fact that you wake up and you start with thank you, you know, I wake up and I go through the same motions every single day and I write, I clear. You know, like last night, I woke up at 3 a.m. and I had the most incredible idea for something I wanted to write. I know I'm going to lose it. So I got out of bed and I wrote it down and I went back to bed. But like, don't lose the moments of good. Don't lose them by charging into the day or somebody else's agenda or whatever it is. And I end my day the same way. Like I end my day with thank you. And I write down three things at the end of the day that made me happy. That's all. Just three things that made me happy every day. And I don't allow myself to repeat. It can't be like coffee, chocolate, and my grandkids. Right? It's gotta be something different every day. Yeah.
I love that. So saying kind of thank you to the day and saying three things that you are grateful for. I love that. I'm going to steal that. Okay, so in chapter two, you talk about, I don't know why these segues are just matching beautifully today, but you talk about write it down. So why do you think it's so important to write things down? And why, what would you say to someone who has never journaled before? What's the gift in journaling? You kind of
Remembering.
explained it, but I feel like you can go a little further.
Yeah. I've always liked to write creatively, but I didn't write faithfully every day until I reached a point where my health was way out of whack. And I started a fitness program and it was come in, everybody takes a picture, everybody starts at the same time, and there's competition. The only way you could win the competition is if you recorded your food every day. So they gave you a spiral bound notebook and it had little dots, and all you had to do was fill out the proteins. Every time you had a protein, you fill in a circle and a fat and a carb and a vegetable and a treat or whatever the case may be. But there was all this white space around it. And I started writing, and I started, like, if I hit on a recipe I really liked, I started filling in the gaps. And I, for that 9 week period of time, I wrote every single day. And I wrote when I didn't feel good. And I wrote when something hurt. And I wrote when something felt really good. And I wrote when I went from a green band to a red band. You know, I mean, like all of these things. And when I got to the end of 9 weeks, my health had changed dramatically. And it wasn't a miracle. It wasn't the exercise we were doing. It wasn't whatever. It was all of it. Like, I was paying attention to my food and I was nourishing my body. You know, I was being faithful to exercise or moving my body every single day. I was meeting up with the same people and making new friends. I mean, it was all of the things. And so when somebody's like, "Oh my gosh, what'd you do?" Well, this is what I did. I did all these things. And I had a record of it. And so then as I moved on with my life, lo and behold, here comes perimenopause. And all of a sudden, like, my periods are out of whack. My skin is nuts. I'm not sleeping. All the things. And I wrote them down because I was sick and tired of somebody saying, "Oh, get used to it. Oh, that's menopause." Well, gosh darn it, I'm doing everything else right in my life. I'm doing everything I can to be healthy, and all my body is doing is betraying me. So I'm going to keep track. Because somebody should be able to help me somewhere. So then I would go into the doctor and she's like, "Oh, it'll pass in a few years." She's like, "Try this." I did that. She's like, "Are you sure?" "Right here, right here, right here, I'm sure." You know, I mean, all of a sudden
Wrote
it
it down.
became, it became a way to advocate for myself in
Oh,
the hardest physical time I've ever had in my whole life. I mean, menopause is the hardest thing I have ever gone through. I mean, giving birth to my children, you know, that was hard, but that was like a 2-hour window. I mean, perimenopause through menopause for me was like 5 years, and it was terrible bleeding and cramping and aches and just things, not sleeping, all the things, right? But I had record of them. And then I also knew which foods triggered them.
Yeah. Oh.
Like wine. If I drank wine, my hot flashes were like double a normal day. And
Interesting.
it was insane. If I had like more caffeine, when I back off of my coffee in the morning and drink a glass of water, then a cup of coffee, and then a glass of water instead of like coffee, 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 the caffeine, my hot flashes went down. I same thing, I sleep better if I ate my meals by a certain time. Now, I can sit there and I can tell you that today, but when I was going through it, if you would have said, "Well, gosh, what are you doing to make it better?"
You didn't know.
Well, I don't know, because it's like the people who won't take a picture of themselves. You and I are looking at each other right now. I can't, tug on my ear and take a snapshot that's going to sit in there forever, so I know exactly what I look like. Record the things so you can go back and you can see what works for you and what doesn't. I think, and if you don't like to journal, you don't have to sit down and write a freaking book. No, I mean, just like the journal that you're sitting there looking at right now. I started out filling in little circles, right? And the way I set the journal up, you can decide what the little circle is supposed to be. It doesn't have to be a protein, fat, and a carb. It can be water, it can be walk, it can be weight training, it can be whatever you want it to be. Just start filling in a little dot and taking note of what makes you feel good.
I love that so much. All right, we're going to move on. In chapter three, you begin right away with the thoughts so many women have about their bodies and the damage those thoughts can do. So my question is, you talk about putting these women through the horror of before and after pictures with everything you've learned. How would you handle that now?
I would still do it.
You would?
I would. I would 100%. And here's why. Here's
Okay.
why.
I'm
Because,
listening.
no, because of what I just said to you.
Okay.
So many women, so many women. I just chatted with some lovely women in their 70s that, yesterday at Vacation Bible School. Beautiful women there who still don't look in the mirror and see the good that they're doing for themselves. We look in the mirror and we instantly evaluate the bad. And if I were to screenshot us right now, today, and then you and I decide we're going to go on vacation and we're going to get lots of really great sleep and we're going to have lots of really great sex and we're going to drink water and we're going to be in the sun. And then we come back and it's a month later. And we've lived this most glorious life, and I screenshot it. We're gonna look like two different women, right? You cannot remember who you were when you started to try to change your life. So what I ask people to get in a bikini top and a pair of shorts and show me their bellies and like ooh, try to look bad? No. But I would ask them to stand in front of me in something that makes them currently feel good. And take a picture. So after they start out on this journey towards better health, whatever that means to them, that 6 months down the road, you can take a picture again and you can see how much good you did, even if that damn scale didn't change. Your body's gonna change.
I mean, the way that you just explained that, I get that. But I guess I'm so used to the before pictures on TV and for fat loss products commercials
Right.
that, that is another form of body shaming somebody.
I do. I do.
And so I just think, I hear what you're saying, but I guess I would have to sit with that for a little bit because again, I just explain what I'm used to seeing and what the purpose of those photos are, and knowing when that happened to me, what those photos were supposed to do. They're supposed to shame me into knowing that why are you a fat personal trainer? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I guess it's also to the person behind taking that photo? Like, what's their motivation? So that's interesting. Okay. All right. You also talk about self-love, what it means when we don't have any, and the changes in our lives once, and the changes that happens in our lives once we do. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about how you finally had your moment of feeling self-love for the first time?
It's been a long time ago. I don't know, Rachel. I write about it. I've experienced ebbs and flows, and it just everything hit me at one point in time. I mean, and chapter three is called Reflections for a reason. I spent a lot of time looking in the mirror and just thinking, "Oh, Kim, what is this? You're supposed to know what you're doing. You're a nutritionist. You're a personal trainer. You own a gym for Pete's sakes, and look at you, right? Who and I got to a point where I didn't even want to go out in public because I thought people are going to look at me and think, why should I listen to her, right? And I really got into a bad place, and I was journaling, and I read scripture from the Song of Solomon, and it says, "You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you." And it hit. I mean, it was like the right words, or when you read the right book or you hear the right song at the right time, and it just changes. And I didn't have girls, I had boys, but I knew how badly my heart would ache if my boys were thinking about themselves the way I was thinking about myself, if they didn't like themselves, right?
Course.
And I don't know. I'm worthy. I'm good. I'm beautiful. My husband would tell you I'm sexy. It doesn't matter what it doesn't matter what I weigh or what I do. And I don't know if that's what you're looking for. It's just for so long, I needed someone else to tell me I was beautiful. I needed someone else to notice when I walked into a room. I don't care. I don't care. I love me, and the most important people in my world love me. So anybody else wants to think differently, get after it.
I just think that's so fascinating that, you know, women of our age and older, we just hopefully adopt that thinking, right? Again, when we say we don't care, I think that gets lost in translation a lot of times. When I say I don't care what other people think of me, it doesn't mean I don't care what I think of me and that I want to take care of myself to the best of my abilities for as long as I can. We've talked about that on many of our shows, and we'll continue to talk about that. Loving yourself means taking care of your body, nourishing your body, resting your body, having low stress, making sure that you're doing all the things to keep yourself the best version of yourself throughout your life. We know that that's what we're saying. But there is a shift that happens in women where you go through this self-loathing your whole life, and that light bulb goes off, and you're just like, I no longer want to waste, or will I waste my life with this? I want this. I want happiness. I want the love of my family, of my partner, of my friends, of my parents, whatever. That's what I want to enjoy. I want to go places. I want to see things. I want to eat good food. I want to have good sex. I want to be by myself and feel safe and be okay. Those are the things that we want after all that noise. And I think for me, that first moment of self-love when I knew that I was okay, that I always had been okay, but now I get to step into that feeling instead of holding myself back. And from what I read in your book, that was a very similar experience for you. So that's kind of the answer I was looking for, but I'm totally okay with the one you gave. You're the best, Kimmy. Okay, so chapter four. Here you share about your dressing room story. Now, I know every single woman has had this experience, so I really wanted to talk about this. What can you tell our listeners about those emotions? They are so real, but we can find clothes that we've now learned. Clothes are meant to fit our bodies. Our bodies are not meant to fit in their clothes. I
Right.
hope that made sense. And I please take it from here and explain that a little further.
Well, my body was different, but I didn't have to go out very often. I mean, just for those people who haven't read the book, Jeff and I were going to a wedding and I needed a new dress, and I needed a new dress because I was not the same size to fit in the old dresses, right? So I'm headed out and I go to all of the stores I've always gone to before. And nothing fit right. Nothing fit right, and I went to every single store except for the one that was going to fit my chest and, my body, and particularly my chest. I mean, like, my chest does not fit into something in these teenager stores. I was trying. I was doing everything. I even wore those godforsaken, like squeeze yourself in undergarments to go shopping, right? I mean, like, my mom always told me, if you're going to buy a nice dress, make sure you have on your best bra and you have on, your control top pantyhose and or, whatever, Spanx or whatever the case may be. I had it on and I wasn't fitting. And at the end, I don't have a choice. I've got to go into the big girl store, is what I, in my head, that's what it was. It's just a store, right? And the nicest person in there helped me find the dress, and I went to pick up one size and she's like, no, you need, and she helped. And I went in and it slipped right on and I looked like $1 million and I started to cry because the only place I could feel like $1 million was in a store that I didn't want myself to go in. And that has nothing to do with anything except the way I had been conditioned to think about myself
Sizing.
and about women's sizing. Exactly. And so, I got to tell you, I made it through that wedding and then I started exercising and I told myself I was going to do something different. And I did. I did. But it still didn't, it didn't heal me and it didn't bring me to where I am today because I went through the same thing that you went through. Like, I got to my very smallest size ever. I didn't get to my lowest weight ever, but I got to my smallest size because I had kicked everything, food, exercise, I mean, everything on was, I was achieving everything at a level 10, right? But how long can you achieve everything at a level 10? And I reached a size I had never seen in my adult life. And I was the most miserable I've ever been in my whole life. My marriage was not good. I was not attending to my son's like I was here, I mean, I went to their games and whatever, but my focus was on me. And my focus was on my body and my exercise and my food. And it what I mean it and gosh, I'm just never gonna go there again. I had really great clothes that like went to Goodwill because I am never going to do to myself what I did ever again. Now, I keep a variety of sizes in my house because who knows where
Yeah, for sure.
okay, right? So I flex back and forth and everything, and like you said earlier, I still want to be healthy, but I don't work out and I don't eat to achieve a size. I work out and eat to achieve a feeling. And that's all I'm ever going to do for the rest of my life.
I love that so much. I mean, and it's just freedom. You and I use that word a lot when we're talking about our journeys and experiences and our life up until, at that point. And I think it's so interesting that before we even met, we use that same word freedom to describe where we're at. It is freeing to have that, to let those chains of society, of your head, of everything your mother and your grandmother and whoever, whatever woman taught you, because that's somebody taught them. And the rules that we've all lived by for so long just don't apply, but it has to be your choice to let them go. And I think women's sizing is one of those things. So many clothes. I read something once and now it's totally escaping me. I'll have to find it. We'll talk about it again because sizing is a thing that is used on standards of women that aren't, and I hate when people say they don't exist because obviously they do, right? I think that the most valuable thing that women can start to understand and believe is that being shaped differently and having boobs and a tummy and a butt and those things are normal too. Being a very, svelte person, svelte, I can never say that word, svelte person who doesn't have those things, you don't know how they view and see their bodies. It's not just excess that you should feel bad about or pick apart. I mean, we're going off on another tangent because this could be a whole episode in itself,
But
but
where you're headed is right. I mean, like, I feel like we always think I've got it worse. My situation, nobody understands me, right? And there's not a one of us who loves everything about ourselves, right? And so, like you were saying, I mean, there are women out there who would give anything for half of what I have to pour into my bra. You know, and I would give anything to have half of what I've got. I mean, it just, but this is what the dear Lord bestowed upon me, and I should be able to find things to wear and not be embarrassed about where I buy my clothes, how I buy my clothes, or if I need someone to help me find the right clothes to feel good, right?
Yeah, I do. I hear that. Okay, I do want to ask you this one last question, and then we're going to close this episode for today. But listeners, Kim's book is just so beautiful and powerful that I felt like it deserved a two-parter. So we're going to end here with chapter four, but I did have one more question for you. So I find it so interesting. Oh, you know what? We just talked about this, but let me ask you anyways, that a trip to the mall to try on clothes can skyrocket us to start a health journey instead of living a fulfilling, healthy journey on a daily basis. What can we share with our listeners that being healthy should be an understanding of homeostasis, not to gain and lose for our entire lives? So even though we just kind of talked about it, maybe touch on that last part a little more.
I just think that health and wellness needs to fit in your life. And to me, that's what homeostasis is. Not that you're not going to tweak something a little bit here, tweak something a little bit there, but you were gifted. You were gifted. I was gifted. We're all gifted with our bodies. And, you know, if we just sit and we get old and we don't do anything, we're going to lose muscle mass. We're going to gain weight. We're going to, you know, be more tired, because our bodies were meant to move. And that gets harder as we get older. But gosh, you shouldn't have to disrupt your whole life or do things that are unnatural or unfulfilling to feel good in your own skin, right? You and I have talked about this before, but like the greatest teachers for me at this moment in my life are my two little grandsons, because they're too young for anybody to have messed up what their needs are. And so both of them, they see themselves in the mirror and they love those babies in the mirror. They love them. And they're not so young. I mean, like, they know that it's them. Brooks knows it's Brooks and Henry knows it's Henry, but they love what they see, and they don't ever think to themselves, oh gosh, I shouldn't eat too many strawberries tonight because I might get fat. You know, I mean, like they just take that beautiful piece of fruit and they eat it and they love it so much that they want more. And they know when they're hungry and they know when they're sleepy, because sometimes they're sitting right there in the middle of dinner and there they go. And if we would honor that, if we would honor who we are without all the crap around us that's made us think we're someone else,
Yep.
we would be happy and healthy and whole.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love all those answers. Well, whole women listeners, thank you so much for spending today with us. And we hope that we touched on emotions that you have experienced yourself and giving you some hope that you too can get through them and see yourself as the beautiful, amazing human being that you are.
Yes, I love that. Love you. Thank you. I can't wait to talk some more. Yeah, this has been good. I love talking to you.
I know, I love talking to you too. All
Until next
right.
time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.